Hello, Misters, Twisted Sisters, and everyone in between, and welcome to another episode of Druids of Doom. I'm Franny.
And I'm Neckwrecker Rex, and thanks for listening. We've got another episode here of reviews of albums, shows we're looking forward to, and a huge metal extravaganza topic of what got us into heavy metal. So if you're here, we thank you. And yeah, Franny, why don't we just kick it off and go straight into it, talking about some upcoming shows. Is there anything you've got on deck that you're looking forward to?
The only thing I have, like, truly booked and tickets bought and paid for or whatever is Rammstein at the end of the month. A friend of ours will be coming with me. We've had these tickets for, like, what seems like eternity. Because of, you know, COVID and the pandemic and lockdowns and stuff like that, it's been postponed like 8 different times, it seems like. But it's finally coming to fruition. Going to be at U.S. Bank Stadium. And luckily, we're like right down close to the field. So the echo and stuff like that shouldn't be too bad there, because I've been to a concert there before and was nosebleed as you can get. And it was the worst experience of my life.
Oh, great place to see a football game. Terrible sound for concerts. And that's a drag. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because my work has like its own internal eBay and people post things to sell. Someone was selling a pair of floor general admission tickets for $100 for that show. And I was going to scoop them up, and I realized I was double booked. But for a moment there, I thought the stars were going to align and we both see Rammstein.
Oh man, that'd be so rad. That would have been really cool for all three of us to go to that show. But
I want to go just to try to get burned, like jizzed on, like I see that they do at their shows. I see that their live performance is something of pure spectacle and chaos.
Yeah, it's truly, from what I've heard, is a sight to behold. I haven't seen them before. I've seen videos and pictures of their concerts, and they are just on another level of stage production and bonkers. It's like industrial rock slash metal meets like shock rock almost, you know what I mean?
Honestly, I feel like they're one of these bands who, if it wasn't for their stage performance, they would still be popular. Obviously, they've got some great songs, but I feel like they get taken to a next level by the huge amount of production. And yeah, they've got, I don't know, just kind of an aura around them. And to be able to sell, to do an arena tour is not something I would have expected them to be able to do. So I'm so pleased to see how jacked everyone is for it. So yeah, that looks like a really good time. I've got a show that I'm exceptionally excited for. A little, you know, I'm a huge death metal fan, and
absolutely,
yeah, next month we've got Cataclysm and Deicide and Inhuman Condition all coming through. And that's just talk about some bands. I missed Inhuman Condition last time they came through due to the bug, or at least a scare with the bug. And they have just kind of taken the death metal world by storm, I feel, over the last, I don't know, 16 months. So I'm really excited to see them. And yeah, I know the Rat God, that song in particular just gets under my skin. And just another old school death metal band, even, you know, new, but you know, with they're some old dudes and they're playing old style death metal. So of course, sign me up.
Yeah, I just found out about Inhuman Condition this year, and I remember texting you, you know, hey, have you heard of these guys? Because, you know, I every time I hear a band, I always text you, hey, have you heard of these guys? Have you heard of these guys? Because you have just an insane depth of knowledge when it comes to metal music. I texted you and you were like, yeah. And so I was like, okay, cool. And then I found out there's only one album that they had. So I was like, okay, well, I can hear their entire discography. Because usually you'll hook me up with like album recommendations. But man, when I heard these guys for the first time, holy buckets, they just completely floored me. And then I was hooked immediately. Immediately I was hooked.
It's just cool to see someone, you know, Terry Butler, a death metal fucking legend. If you don't know, now you know. He was in Obituary, Massacre, 6 Feet Under, Death. He's got his thumbprints all over a lot of really important bands, fun bands in death metal. So for this dude to still be grinding and starting a new goddamn band in 2020, and now they're on tours, I just love the whole aesthetic. They got that old school logo, just Inhuman Condition, but the font just is classic, just classic death metal sensibility. So I'm all in on that. And then Cataclysm, a live force, just a lot. They're a weightlifting death metal band. They're a meat and potatoes death metal band, if you prefer. But for me, I think of them more as they're like a superset death metal. You listen to Cataclysm, it's like you're going to go through your 3 sets, 8 reps, and then burn out while Cataclysm crushes you.
Yeah. And that, once again, that is another band that you turned me on to and was not disappointed. And you are 150% right. That is the type of metal music that you just move plates like your life depends on it. And you feel completely burned out afterwards, but you're just like, thank you, sir. May I have another? Because almost every track is just a certified banger, and it just is a barrage of badass sound coming your way. And like I said, you at the end of it, you just want another one.
They're just like one of these bands who they stay in the pocket with it. They play a lot of mid-tempo death metal, and I like thinky heavy metal. I've got tons of it, but for a live setting, I'll always take that mid-tempo banger after banger approach. Because, yeah, I'll probably have 2 or 3 beers myself, and I kind of like that tribal feel that bands like that give.
Absolutely.
So Cataclysm coming through. We've got Inhuman Condition coming through. And then Deicide, whose reputation always precedes them. Of course, Glenn Benton, everybody knows all the stories, threatening to kill himself before 33, just like Christ died, and carving an upside-down cross in his fucking forehead. So... nothing if not deserving of an important footnote in the annals of like shocking behavior. That's Glenn Benton. He, whatever you think about his music, dude knows how to turn heads. And I'll tell you that I like Deicide. I think they've got a lot of really fantastic albums. And I don't know if I heard this right. So if I'm wrong on this, and I'm not going to type while I'm talking here and make you suffer that, but I think they're playing, one of their classic albums from start to finish. So that alone makes me want to get out to see them. I'll hopefully be able to do so. I know that there's a lot of shows coming up, but this is one I do want to see.
You are correct on them playing like a full album. I do remember seeing that in the poster, online poster.
I think they might be playing Legion, or they're self-titled is what I want to say, or a Once Upon the Cross. Hope I've got that right. But yeah.
Yeah, I feel like in that poster that I saw too, Cataclysm was also playing an album from cover to cover, but I don't remember that for sure. I'd have to find the post for it again. But I know Deicide is, I swear to God, Cataclysm is too. I'm not 100% on that. I'm going to really try to squeak it and make it to that one, because I know you and I were talking about it, and that is another one that I really, really want to see.
So glad that so many death metal centric tours are coming through, are getting booked. And on that note, I can't wait to be about 5 months from now, not dealing with the cold, but seeing what is surely to be one of the biggest death metal tours I've ever seen through North America, at least. Cataclysm, Amon Amarth, Cattle Decapitation, Amon Amarth, and I want to say Obituary and Carcass. I mean, 4 names that when you get out of the, once we're past like the truly foundational seminal bands, to have a tour like this with these 4 acts, I'm over the moon about it. It's in a great venue. I think it's at the Fillmore, which we love the Fillmore. But everyone I know that's into metal is going to be at this show. It's one of those kinds of shows where you turn your head and there's someone you know or someone you've banged out with previously, rocked out with. Super over the moon about that. And here's one thing that's wild is I wouldn't say that this show has broad, accessible appeal to the average music fan, but my sister has been suffering my heavy metal fandom since we were teenagers, and occasionally I would have her listen to some of the stuff I listened to, and for whatever reason, a band like Obituary just stuck to her because of those super idiosyncratic vocals. Like, you know dude's voice second you hear it. And there's we just sometimes will joke to each other and send each other like we'll be like, final thoughts, and send each other like voice memos where we just mimic the dude. So blah, blah, blah. She's coming to the show. She's not a metal fan. She's a mom. She's a suburban mom. And she's like, oh, Obituary's coming with them on Amarth. She's going. So I'm kind of excited to see who does this show bring out? What kind of characters are we going to get?
Oh yeah. When you told me that, I was just like, whoa, dang. Like I, you've briefly talked to about your sister before, in like the kind of music that she likes. And when you told me that you and your sister were going, I was just like, oh dang, that's crazy. One of our mutual friend is actually coming to the show too. And how many times have we tried to get him to go to a concert? And he was like, oh, Eamon Amarth's going to be there.
Never. I could dial him up tomorrow and say, look, I'm not really that big a fan, but I just won like a press box for Lady Gaga to see her live. And I hear she's got a great show. I don't think he'd go.
No, yeah.
That's what we're up against. So for him to come out to that show, for my sister to come out to that show. Yeah, I'm looking. I don't think that this is going to exactly have like some kind of crazy Juggalo vibe, but I do think this show is going to bring out a different level of fandom than we normally see. And good for them. This is a decent sized venue. This isn't, and this is not arena size, but it's I think really just a step below that. You're not really going to get in a much bigger venue before you're playing, you know, at an arena sized venue. So looking forward to that. You know, I'm going to close out with one more show I want to share with our listening audience that, I'll just say, I don't know if you like John Carpenter movies, at some point you've probably latched on to the amazing music, dude. He created all this music, and whether it's, you know, Prince of Darkness or They Live, I'm drawing blanks here, but any of his movies have iconic music, synth heavy, dark, brooding. And who would have thought that this guy who could barely get a Hollywood movie after 1998 would spawn a whole like musical style? So now we've got all these synthwave bands that have popped up over the last 7 or 8 years, like Perturbator or Ghost or Carpenter Brute, which who are coming in the next month. And these are, I'm really excited to see them. When I saw Perturbator, whenever I saw them before in the long, long ago, before we like wiped down groceries with Clorox, I saw them. And I'm jaded. There's not a lot of times where I'm like, I'm seeing something different, except in our last episode when I saw Holder, that was definitely something different. But when I saw Perturbator, I'm like, this is a different kind of sound. I was like, you know, in Back to the Future, holding up the phone to some friend who's on some other time space continuum. And I'm screaming like, this is the shit. You need to hear this. Well, needless to say that Carpenter Brute is one of those kind of bands. And well, bands, what the fuck? I don't know. Mute performance artists, musicians, whatever. So they're coming through, and you know, I'm not gonna be like the typical EDM fan and going super hard, but I'll probably bop around.
Carpenter Brute? Is that
Carpenter Brute?
I'm gonna have to look them up. I've never heard of them before, but that sounds interesting because I do like dark synth wave and stuff like that. And I'm gonna have to definitely check them out.
Well, it's kind of like, people sometimes, I think, lose sight of the fact that you can make heavy music without being heavy metal. So I really enjoy that about a lot of synthwave. So just another hectic concert season is all that we're here to tell you. And if you subscribe and listen into us, you're going to hear about these shows in the coming months. With that being said, let's see. We've got an extravaganza here of what got you into heavy metal. So much to talk about.
That's a lot to unpack here because I know many different people, they have many different reasons for why they get into metal, why, you know, maybe something happened in their life that kind of just, you know, metal music resonated with them. You just hear something so crazy and outlandish that you've never heard before, and it just kind of plants a seed in your brain, and it just grows into this festering lesion of metal that you just can't get rid of, and you just kind of want it to stick around. Like I said, but for whatever reason, everybody has their own reason for getting into metal. What about what got you into metal originally?
Oh, so much to talk about, so much to unpack. And when you say Everyone got, I'll just start by saying, like, validate you. Everyone does get into metal for their own personal reasons. And I want to add to that, before we even get into it, it fucking annoys me so bad how the media thinks they know the reasons and they're always like the same three things. So I just want to, even though some of my, some of what I say may align with those tropes, man, I'm just going to throw a few things at you and kick the football over to you and see what you have to say. And we'll just go, kind of blow for blow, because I think I could blow my vocal cords out talking about what got me into the style of music, the lifestyle, the quasi religion that is heavy metal. So let me just start. Let me take you way back to when Little Neck Wrecker was like five and I had maybe three vertebrae and they were all healthy in my neck. I hadn't banged that head. I only knew how to sway, brother. And I was over at my grandma's. I remember this so vividly. My uncle, we were out in the garden and he was like, at that time, probably 18 or 19. And he had these big fucking speakers and I'm outside with my grandma helping her pull weeds or something. And he's like being a little rebellious punk and he's blasting some music. And I don't know what I'm hearing. I just know that sounds like something different I haven't heard before. And he was playing some, Led Zeppelin and it was, just heavy as hell. And I remember he followed it up with, I didn't know this at the time, but Pink Floyd. And I just heard this, you know, we don't need no education. And I heard that and I felt it so deep in my gut. And my grandma's reaction, she was appalled. She's like, turn that. And this is not heavy metal. I understand. But as far as how I found my way there, like ages ago, a seed was planted when I heard that heavy sound and I didn't know what it was. But I like the sound of it. I like the way my grandma reacted to it. And I like the way my uncle acted around it. So that was one of my first early memories of how I got into heavy metal. Another thing, this is the stupidest shit, but, you know, I'm also like around six or so. I'm in the 80s and you're just absorbing imagery. And at some point, my mom was watching something on the old VHS and the imagery was so heavy and I was like this other world. There's these horned creatures and these big cascading valleys full of dangerous creatures. And there just was a real high fantasy feel. And I found out later, I'm like, what fucking movie was that? It was Legend. And that's not necessarily a great movie, but just that imagery, that occult sort of imagery. I remember saying like to my mom, like, what is this? And she's like, oh, you know, it's kind of like a little bit of an occult sort of thing. And I didn't know what that meant, but that also like put this seed in me to always have this interest in sort of like the darker side of psychology or what humanity is capable of, or just like this coming from a Judeo-Christian background, like this feeling of forbiddenness that sort of surrounds the occult or heavy metal. But yeah, those are a couple of my early nuggets. Do you have anything along those lines of those, memories that you want to share?
Oh boy. Yeah, for sure. Well, kind of something similar. My dad, he used to drive me to school sometimes when I was younger or pick me up from daycare or, you know, something along those lines. And he'd used to pick me up from his cherry Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme with like the white leather top and everything. Yeah, the dude was balling. But he always listened to like the oldie station and stuff like that, you know, like KQ, Cool 108 and stuff like that. I just remember always being a fan of what my dad was listening to as opposed to what my mom was listening to. Like she used to listen to, you know, KDWB all the time and, you know, they play pop and, you know, like this was during like the golden era of hip hop. So, you know, there was like, you know, Biggie Smalls.
A lot of competition from beat heavy music. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I just remember always enjoying what my dad was listening to more so than my mom. Like I didn't have anything against it. I still don't. But I just enjoyed that better than what my mom was listening to.
I totally relate, especially with being raised cutting one's teeth on oldies. I think every little kid should have to listen to fucking 50s and 60s music before they get to develop their own shitty taste. Yeah, that's really interesting. I had similar experiences around riding around in a car when you're forced to listen to the radio. Fucking who would think of that these days?
I know, it's crazy. You're right, because you don't have a choice. It's mom and dad's car. They choose the music. You can't, if you don't like it, that's too bad. You wait till you get your own car.
The Gate. Have you ever seen The Gate? It's this 80s little cult classic.
It doesn't sound familiar at all. No, I don't think I have.
It's another one of these proto Neckwrecker origin stories. This is like, you know what? This is after the hit movies come out and you're like so into the lore of the universe, you're reading like side stories. And that's what this is. That's all this could possibly be, as a side story. But the Gate movie is a garbage, impossibly fun movie where this kid who's got like a sinkhole in their backyard, which it turns out to be a portal to hell, and his little shithead friend comes over with a record. It's a heavy metal record, and that record unleashes the forces of darkness.
Hell
just
yeah.
All the aid. I mean, and here's the thing. I'm watching that. I'm scared shitless. I got a dump in my pants. I'm a little kid. And I just also remember thinking, like, I don't know, but heavy metal seems really powerful and badass. And I was scared. I was a touch scared. And I love that. I'll just throw it out there too. I also, as a little kid, I don't know what the hell was wrong with me, but punk rockers would also scare me. Like at the end of Weird Science, all those bikers show up and I'm like, my mom's like, oh, those are punk rockers. I'm like, oh, punks are scary. And I used to like, I'll be in first grade drawing pictures of like punks trying to come after people with baseball bats. So anyway, I've always had a respect for the scariness of music from the 1980s is my point. Whether it's punk rock or heavy metal. So that's my trifecta of 80s memories. But there's a lot of just 80s adjacent shit to what got me into heavy metal. I won't belabor this one, but there was a ridiculous compilation called Monsters of Rock. Are you familiar with this mid-90s random infomercial?
Yeah, that does sound familiar.
I had to look it up because I'm like, what the fuck was on this thing? And it had like, for example, like bands like Rat. I don't care what anybody says. Rat's got some fucking riffs.
man, I fucking love Rat, dude.
Rat crush. I don't care.
I don't give a shit what anybody says. You turn on Rat, I'm in a happy mood no matter what. Like Body Talk? Come on, man. Like that's not even their best song. Like obviously not, but like Body Talk fucking crushes, dude. I don't care what anybody says.
I fucking love that you opened up with Body Talk on this. That's a deep cut, and that song is, yeah, it's phenomenal. I'm a Round and Round guy just because of that main riff, but like, you know what? They came out with an album sometime after 2000. I can't even tell you the year, but it was decent. I forget. Yeah, it was decent. But anyways, Monsters of Rock had bands like Rat. It had like Twisted Sister. It had, more importantly, Judas Priest. And there were these tracks on there that when I heard it, again, this is the 90s, and there was, hip hop was much more popular. And even though that's still very much true, it's all I ever heard on the radio was like hip hop. I never heard heavy metal. So when I heard these sounds off of this fucking random CD, that also was like, wow, that really connected me to something I hadn't really known a lot about. And I kept thinking to myself, where are the bands that still play these sorts of songs, that still play like a riff oriented, sometimes clean vocal, sometimes not, melodic or anthemic, powerful sort of music? Where are they? And when I started to find myself falling into heavy metal, I'm like, oh, that's where you are. You're just not on the radio, but you've been there all along.
That's a really good point, because like you said, during the 90s, it was basically all about hip hop and pop. And you are right. It is still very much like that to this day, but I feel like maybe the tides are changing a little bit. I feel like metal is getting a little bit more of the respect and the chops that it deserves nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely.
As opposed to then.
I mean, like, you see death metal like gets featured in Rolling Stone at times now. Like, it's just for a genre like death metal or black metal to now be going on 30 years. Like, those are legitimate genres, and they do deserve all the respect.
Let's see, something kind of along those lines of that, like CD you were talking about. When I was in high school, I had already heard about like Metallica and a couple of other bands. Like, it's kind of impossible to escape, bands like that, Metallica, Iron Maiden, stuff like that. But I used to have a buddy come over and spend the night on the weekends or whatever. And parents go out of town, go to the casino or whatever. We go, sneak into my old man's liquor cabinet or, steal a couple beers or whatever. And I remember there's this show that used to be on MTV called Headbangers Ball. And I think this is one of the like biggest driving factors for me like getting into metal, because like I said, I had heard of like Metallica and Iron Maiden and other of these bands, Led Zeppelin, stuff like that, but I never really pursued them. I never really followed them. I never really sought them out up until this point. Headbanger Ball's just about to start, and the first song that they open up with is Holy Diver by Dio. Song I've never heard before up until this point. An artist I had never heard of up until this point. And I saw the music video and I heard the song and I was just like, holy shit, I need more of this in my life. And that kind of started opening the floodgates for me getting into metal. It didn't fully unlock the door, but it started to break it down, if you will.
Similar, I think everyone has those watershed moments on their metallic journey. There is like some sort of because this is a hard genre to just get exposed to otherwise. There hasn't historically been a lot of support, and that is changing totally, but it's hard to find your way into it. But I think we all have those watershed moments. So for you, you're listening to the Ronnie James Dio, who they're old man, what a blow. We miss you to this day, Ronnie. But for you to stumble on that for me was Iron Maiden. And I remember the first time I heard, I'm not proud, but it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And I got Iron Maiden's Greatest Hits. And so I heard that. And that was for me like, holy shit, that sort of like threaded all of these different experiences into one kind of cohesive aha moment. I'm like, mm-hmm. Yep, this is the kind of music I want to like just dedicate myself to and learn more about. And so that also like put me on a path. And from there, if Iron Maiden like opened the door, bands like Borknagar or Arch Enemy or... Back in the day, Amorphis was always really important. They kicked the fucking door in at that point. And I didn't struggle to enjoy heavy vocals really at all, even early on. Like, so death and black metal pulled me in right away. Stuff like hearing Dissection, Storm of the Light's Bane, my God, like there's no going back. Once this gets in your blood, you're infected. And I still appreciate all kinds of music. But yeah, those early experiences... heavy metal's a cult, man. It's a tribe. Once you're in, that's hard to get out. Like you, yeah. I don't even know how someone would try to extricate us from heavy metal, but yeah.
No. Yeah. There's no way. It's like you said, once you're, it's like the mob or something like that. Once you're in, like the only way you're out is in a box.
This is family. Yeah. Fucking A.
I think the true, like, the moment for me that like turned completely like flipped the script in my mind. Fast forward, I'm in the service. I'm working out with a buddy, just kind of talking to like what he's listening to. And he's like, there's this band called Lamb of God. It's super heavy, you know, guttural vocals, gets you jacked or whatever. And I can't remember what I was listening to, probably some bullshit, you know, hip hop or something like that.
Yeah, we like hip hop on this. This ain't Druids of Boom.
Yeah.
All right. So this, but we like hip hop too.
I shouldn't say bullshit because I do love hip hop. So, you know, he told me about this band, Lamb of God. And I was like, well, can I try it out? You know, can I have a listen or whatever? And the song was Walk With Me in Hell. And I heard that and I couldn't get enough at that point. It was the first exposure I had to like actual like guttural style vocals. And like you said, I didn't have a problem adapting to that. I didn't have a problem like sitting there and enjoying it. And then after that, I was like, hey, can I borrow your iPod and start ripping some songs off of it? Or, you know what I mean? Cause after that, the door, like you said, was firmly kicked in. And I just started searching all these different bands. Fast forward even more, I thought I knew a lot about metal, and then I met you, and then you showed me that I was the apprentice in this matter.
Well, it's not like that. It's more like we're both walking the steely path. And but like I said, you know, there's tons of music we appreciate, but heavy metal is just different. It gets into your blood, it gets into your system, and there's no turning back. And no other music for me makes me feel the same way. And that's another thing that got me into heavy metal. It's just the power of it. This is powerful music. It can invoke so many different emotions. And really, like, when people tell me, you know, they don't like metal, or they have all these connotations of what it's going to sound like, I always feel like I wish I had the energy and time to, like, show them all, like, the breadth of this genre, which is another thing that pulls me in. But, like, there's a metal band for everybody. There's a style of metal for everybody. That's something that pulled me in. And I kind of talked about, you know, Legend, corny-ass movie. But one of the, I mentioned how, like, it had this esoteric or occult or mystic sort of feel. That mysticism has always been kind of part of heavy metal, whether it's like the stories that come as bands are building themselves up, or like what people had to do back in the day to hear bands, like whether it's tape trading or word of mouth. Like, there's just always been a veil of mysticism around all of this. And that's also the cover art. Mm-hmm. Metal's got all this badass cover art. And it's like picking up these corny, like, old fantasy books back in the day too. Like, they just get your imagination going. Like, what's this album going to be about? Like, I'm looking at, in the case of like Death, I'm looking at a leprosy pocked poor bastard pulling back his tunic in a fire blasted hellhole of a desert. And all I can do, having not heard Death, is look at that and say, what the fuck am I looking? What is this? So. What do you think about that? Do you feel like there's like a little mystique or something around heavy metal in that way?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I suppose a way you could sum it up is the fear of the unknown. I say the outside of metal, because they like you said, they have all these preconceptions of like what kind of, what metal music is, what it's going to sound like, the type of people that listen to metal music. A lot of that stuff is completely far off from what is actually the case. I mean, yeah, you're going to see the stereotypical, you know, long-haired metal-clad maniac listening to metal music. Yeah, you're going to have that. And those guys are usually super duper nice and badass. They're not some, you know, douchebag that's going to, like, you know, slam a door in your face or like beat, you know, punch your groceries out of your hand or some shit like that. You know, no. I feel like a big part of it is the fear of the unknown and the mysticism to it. But once you decide to tip your toe into it, not everybody's going to be receptive into it. You know, once you see the faint mist of a figure in the dark shadowy woods of metal music and you decide to follow it, you're going to see this huge pasture of grand music that you could listen to and experience. And I firmly believe that there is a style of metal, there is a band in metal that will resonate with everybody.
I'm with you. Like, I feel like I'm going to contradict myself, because I feel like there is a band for everyone and metal just isn't for everyone. It's like one of these things where it's like, if someone were committed to trying, I do believe there would be a band for them, but it's like metal has some sort of like way of weeding people out to a certain degree. So it's just, and that's why it's still going strong, because it's always had a core contingency of diehards. And when metal was really down in, I don't know, part of the 90s for sure was a downturn, part of the aughts, all that sustained heavy metal were the diehards across the globe, and they're everywhere. Some places in the world it stayed strong, don't get me wrong, but that's that camaraderie, that tribalism in heavy metal is another thing I love about it. Like, you go to a metal show, and even though things are so polarized, you know, in America right now, when you go to a metal show, that really does go away. And that happens in other settings too with music, but I don't really see it too often, but it's like not consistently often. Like, people sometimes are just there to get fucked up at like a pop show or something along those lines. I don't feel like there's like this, like these core values or commitment to like the music that those people necessarily have. I do think you might find that at hip hop shows. You probably find that at some country shows, but at metal shows, it's a fucking, it's a tribe. And that also got me into it.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. It is a tribe. To follow up on your point, you can 100% see that at metal shows. I know this is kind of a not necessarily gotcha example or whatever, but I mean, like, look at all the stuff with like the Travis Scott stuff with people dying in like pits and stuff, or you know, people getting killed at this dude's concert or whatever just because they're getting all acting a fool or whatever. I'm not saying it doesn't happen at metal shows; it surely has. But you know, if you hear stories about people getting trampled to death, basically. Like, if you go to a metal show and you get it, just look at the flip side of that. You go to a metal show, you go into a pit. If you fall down or you see somebody that falls down, you're going to have like 8 to 10 people hucking this person up off the ground as fast as they can and making sure they're all right. And then usually kind of shuffle them off to the side. At least every pit I've been to or seen.
I mean, I feel like the greatest hazard at a metal show for the most part is getting fucking crop dusted. That shit is real. At metal shows. And I will say this, a heavy metal show crop dusting is a different level because usually these are diets. These are heavily processed diets. People are drinking a lot of beer. your proximity to people, Jesus Christ. But yeah, you know, like in Step Brothers where, I don't know, Will Ferrell drops that fart and he's like, tastes like ketchup. Like, I wish some of these farts tasted like ketchup. But my sentiment is, heavy metal shows, yeah, people take care of each other. 100% echo what you have to say. I mean, my God, I remember this moment, and I'm going to shut up in a second on this topic of camaraderie, but taking care of each other. I walked in the bathroom. Okay, what kind of story is this going to be? Guy walks into a bathroom. I walk in this bathroom, boy. See? Well, I walk in this bathroom, and there's this kid, probably 19, something like that, 20, I don't know. And this bathroom's filthy, and he's got his head craned into the sink drinking, like, this grimy tap water. And I was raised on tap water. I'm not raising my nose to tap water. It's more like that sink. Anyway, look at him. I'm like, oh, man, little brother, let's go get you a water, dude. And so, check this out. I bought the kid a water. Oh, like, you know, good for me. I'm such a humanitarian. Well, I'm not telling you this just because, like, I thought that was, like, cool of me. There's something that happened. I remember I bought him that water and I thought, oh man, I remember being that kid drinking out of the sink. Well, anyway, fast forward like two weeks and you and I were at a different show. And I don't know what set of circumstances caused this, but like I was so thirsty. I didn't want to wait in line at the bar. I was out of cash and I was like fucking drinking out of the sink because I was so thirsty. And I remember thinking to myself, holy shit. Even though I feel old, I'm still that kid too. And there's just something really like cyclical about the nature of time to that whole thing. And it was really cool. But at the core of all of it was like the camaraderie of heavy metal.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not a point that like you can exhaust really. You know what I mean? Like a big part of heavy metal is the camaraderie. Like you said, like we're a tribe. We do things together, you know, we do our best to look out for one another when, you know, in those circumstances. Lord knows you've bought me things to drink and whatnot when I didn't have any scratch on me and vice versa. And, you know, I've bought beers for strangers and they've bought beers for me. And I know that's not a necessity, but, you know, it's still looking out for your brothers and sisters.
Well, I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg for me. There's so much other stuff I could talk about. Like, you know, merch is cool. Of course, I'm a rampant consumer. I'm a goddamn American, so I like to buy shit. And heavy metal's got a lot of cool shit to buy, whether it's vinyl or shirts or fucking hoodies with bloody eyeballs. I'm here for it. I'm here to, for whatever else you have to share, I'm here for it. But for me, the only other thing I can think to add, at least right now, is that there is no other kind of fucking music that's going to make me just instinctively do a claw in the air and grab that invisible orange off the tree. I mean, it strikes these things, these poses inside of you that feel primal and urgent and fucking utterly human, and goddamn, that's heavy metal for me.
I can't agree with that more because the amount of like insane like power poses, you know, that I've done at metal shows where my chest is just like inflated and like all of my muscles are flexing like all from the tip of my head all the way down to my toes as, you know, the band is up on stage just crushing it. Like it makes you feel powerful and it makes you feel alive and, like you said, human. And that's like one of the things that I love about metal music, amongst many other things. That's why I love metal music. It makes me feel grounded. It makes me feel human.
It's quintessentially human. There's something, music, it just goes back so far in our human history. There's a, such a tribe. It's been with us since the start of our species. And if that's, yeah, metal taps into something there, something old, something ancient. And I feel that to my core. Absolutely.
What else, like, just to kind of rapid fire here, what else do you love about music, metal music? I know there's like a million and a half different things.
Patches, but, beer, headbanging.
To me, I agree with all of those. I think for me is that it's not only does the music make me feel human, but it's still being performed by humans. You know what I mean? You have a lot of music nowadays where, like, there is no band. It's just all done on a computer. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that metal music isn't edited and produced and mastered and finished on a computer. Yes, of course. It's the 22nd century, 21st century.
There's a respect for craft. There's technicality. I'm picking up what you're laying down.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. You still have people taking, you know, years and years of honing their skills, sharpening their metal blades to get to the point where they are nowadays. And as opposed to other genres, and, like, again, I'm not knocking on other genres, but I think the one thing that metal music has over them is that it is people actually performing what you hear. Whether it be the drums, the bass, guitars, vocals, what 100%.
It's in a lot of ways, it's a musician's genre because of the dedication and persistence it takes to play this kind of music, let alone tour. So I agree with everything you said. Then not much more for me. I mean, of course, we could do 15 hours, 30 hours on this topic of what got me into metal, but the occult got me into it. The fraternity got me into it. The camaraderie got me into it. The melody, everything. So it's been a life journey so far for me with heavy metal.
It has for me as well, for sure. Let's see here. What are this is going to be a big question, and it's going to be a silly one too, but I know your, like, favorite genre of metal, your favorite subgenre of metal would probably be like death or black, but, like, what are some of your other ones?
I don't know. I honestly don't feel like I feel like I like all, they all have merit to me. That's definitely a rabbit hole I could go way into. We need another extravaganza for that, but I'll say, as a super surface answer, of course I love black and death metal. I love traditional heavy metal and doom. I like it all. Doom metal, power metal's kind of, like, you know, it's lower on my list, but There's just so much to explore. That's what I love about heavy metal. Regardless of what genre you're into, I mean, you can go digging into the metal underground. It's got so many. Every time you think you're hitting rock bottom of what there is to discover, there's more.
There's another layer underneath it. That's 100% correct. Well, I think we can start kind of rounding it out here. Just kind of finish. I feel like some of the genres that I gravitate back to a lot these days, there's metal subgenres, is obviously death metal. It's probably my favorite one. I find myself gravitating towards the most. Power metal, I can't get enough of it, and I am partly responsible, or I feel partly responsible, in the resurgence in your power rankings with the power metal. You're very, very welcome. Except that last album that I told you about was a stinker in your eyes, but we'll talk about that.
Oh my
at the
god
end here.
Dio, no.
And then tech death is a genre that you turned me on to, I have been on a rabid diet of tech death, old stuff and new stuff. It's quickly becoming a genre that I seek out more than any other ones. And I just can't get enough.
Well, yeah, I think we all tech death is, like, to me, it's like studying, like, libertarianism. Like, at some point, everyone has a phase where they think, like, this makes sense. This is right for me. And then shortly thereafter, they move on. So for me, yeah, I had my season with tech death. I still, for me, I just feel like I just need Spawn of Possession, and that satisfies 90% of what I want. Now, there's a lot of young, exciting bands in the genre. I'm lazy, and I don't reach for them enough. Even if they're in my collection, like there are so like Rings of Saturn or the Faceless Crush. I mean, they're doing some really cool things. But I think I like the way you phrase it. You said what you gravitate towards. That tracks more with me rather than like favorite genres. Like I gravitate towards death metal. I gravitate towards atmospheric black metal. I gravitate towards traditional heavy metal, whether you define that as like Black Sabbath or whether you're thinking more along the lines of like a Saxon type of sound. All of that I gravitate towards big time. But every genre's got something, man.
They all have their hits and their misses, that's for sure.
Well, can I propose, since we're talking about genres, is now an okay time for us to maybe transition into like, well, what are we listening to of late?
Absolutely, absolutely. I was just about to bring that up, and since you brought it up first, what have you been listening to?
Well, why don't I hit you with my first, and then I'll pass it off to you to hear what you're listening to, and maybe we'll go tit for tat here and see what's putrefying our brains. I've been listening to, oh man, this is always the heavy metal debate. How do I fucking, you know, the Metal Archives needs like a pronunciation key, like you can click it and see exactly what. Venator is the name of the band. V-E-N-A-T-O-R. So Venator. Don't ask me.
Venator?
Oh, that makes way more sense. Venator sounds way better, too. I think, yeah. Okay, I'm going to go with that from now on. But Echoes from the Gutter. And I don't know where I had it in my head that these guys were from down under, but they're Austrian, and they're playing under Dying Victims Productions. I was really impressed, too, with Dying Victims, because when they sent me this record, I mean, they included so much additional information about, like, upcoming releases, little promo stickers, and all of that. So, feather in the cap to Dying Victims. I'll probably be getting some from them soon. But this album that we're talking about, Echoes from the Gutter by Venator, or Venator, whatever, traditional parking lot heavy metal. This is for having a good time on Friday night, whether that means you're taking your dog for a walk or having a beer, whatever having a good time looks like for you, this is a good album to pair with it. I mean, it's like got Maiden and Priest in heavy doses. It just one of those albums that makes me want to like shove some studded spikes through leather. I don't know if I can actually officially call this Teutonic metal because they're Austrian. And even if Austrians are Germanic, they don't really consider themselves to be German. But if I can call them Teutonic metal, I guess I will. And I would say 4 out of 5 strong. I don't know why I'm giving a rating. Fucking hell. But if I had to give a rating, I'd give it 4 busted vertebrae out of 5 on the neck reckon scale. That's one of the albums I've been listening to. What about you?
Well, to start off really right away with the album that I recommended to you that you completely
just terrible
tore apart for invalid reasons. I've been listening to a band called Fellowship. They're from the UK. They're a power metal band. And I've been listening to what I believe is their debut album, The Saberlight Chronicles, came out this year. And I love it. It's the kind of power metal in the vein of like Dragon Force. I'm blanking on a couple other ones. Dragon Force, I can't think of any decadent,
like maybe Rhapsody, perhaps. Very decadent.
Yes, thank you, Rhapsody, yes. That's the one that I was trying to think of. It's just got a really feel-good vibe. It just puts me in a good mood. And part of that would be I started playing D&D. Yep, I'm that kind of metal nerd. But I started playing D&D, and this is very clearly like, Lord of the Rings type stuff, you know. Mm. Stuff that I can jam out to in my head while I'm like, you know, fucking stuff up in a tavern or whatever. And I told you to listen to a couple songs. I don't know if you listened to both of them, but there was a couple of them that I think are just absolute bangers on that album, and you completely dismissed it. And I just think that's the wrong call, my dude.
It's 100% trash baby metal. Trash baby.
It's No.
It opens with a goddamn xylophone. Like, babies love xylophones. That's like one of the most lullaby-esque instruments. I mean, short of like a mouth harp, I don't know what's going to put someone to sleep quite like the xylophone, but I digress. Go on.
It did start out with a xylophone, but that doesn't mean it's a bad album. Like, you can't, that's just completely writing off something just because you don't like an instrument, you nut bar.
I mean, I know you're right. Still.
I will say that the track Glint and Oak and Ash, I think, are my two hot picks from that album. Like I said, it's got the Dragon Force Rhapsody vibes to it. It's like, beautifully said, decadent. It's very, very decadent.
So decadent. I need like a frilly 1700s like tunic to be poking out of like a wool shawl or something, and like ivory. It's just so, and there's no, I'm just shitting on it because I think it's funny, but I can see why you would like it. Like, it is super upbeat. It's very upbeat.
It just makes me feel good in the heart box. Okay.
Well, you can't beat that.
So that's one of the albums I've been listening to.
Well, Fellowship, maybe. And by the way, maybe I'll give Fellowship another listen. I do try. It's not often that I do shut something off like almost right away, but that band did do that to me. But that might have caught me at the wrong moment because I was at the gym.
Oh yeah, this is not a gym. This is not a gym listening experience.
I'll give it another shot. So, well, I've been listening to Mortiferum, and the album is Disgorged from Psychotic Depths. And this band out of Olympia, Washington, something in the water out there in the Pacific Northwest. But I would describe them as a doom death band, you know, kind of riding that line. They never get too fast. They do slow it down. Very swampy production. Oh man, me and these swampy bands lately, but they have a sound. The low end just crushes. I really appreciate that they don't ever overdo things. The album doesn't overstay its welcome. I think it's around 30 minutes. It's, I would say it's like a stroke after an ice cream sundae. It's short and sweet is what I would say. so stupid. But you know, if I had to describe how this album sounds, you know, I always want to paint a visual picture, but I would say Disgorged from Psychotic Depths by Mortiferum. It sounds like a pus-filled coffin, half submerged in a black ichor of putrefied waste. It's just disgusting. I enjoy listening to it. It's the type of music to listen to late at night as you drive through a desolate highway. So Mortiferum, I'll give it 5. I'm going to start fucking ranking everything. But 5 slip discs on my lower back because it's back wrecker. I'm going to be back wrecker from now on. So that's another one.
I could totally get behind this ranking metric. I am on board and I am here for it.
I think we need to think about what sort of injuries could you sustain listening to albums. And that's how I want. And I want to paint. You know, I think we talked about a lot of bloated corpses going down the river last week. So I've just been listening to a lot of these just vile, repugnant death metal albums. What else you've been listening to, man?
So I've been listening to a little band. You may or may not know of them. Napalm Death. I've been listening to a lot of them lately. More specifically, the album Apex Predator, Easy Meat. I think that album just fucking slays. Came out in 2014, 2015, somewhere around there. And it just crushes. From the opening title track where you got the lead singer, is escaping me right now. The lead singer kind of just, you know, in this dark, brooding voice. It's like hypnotic and it just draws you in. And then like right after that, you just get just sucker punched right in the face, just blasting riffs, and there's plenty of like up tempo and mid tempo and just super powerful, just crushing riffs, and it shows elements of all sorts of different, like I feel like there is some some, you know, technical like metal in there. There's also there's obviously death elements and stuff like that. But I love Napalm Death, and I love this album. It's, I've listened to this album probably like four times in the last like, I don't know, 2 or 3 days, it seems like.
Man, they're just one of those bands that somehow hasn't, I just haven't ever given them as much time as they deserve. Like, they're such a huge name. They're famous as shit. I've been blown away with them live. So I'm pleased to hear that you're rocking out to them. And that's going to probably cause me to have to revisit them some more, because it's been a number of years.
Yeah, and I mean, they have a ton of great albums, excuse me. but like I said, Apex Predator, Easy Meat, I've been just vibing out to that one on another level. I can't recommend that one enough. If you guys haven't listened to it, definitely check it out.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at my purchases over the last few months on Discogs, and it's just shameful. Been listening to Dark Throne. I mean, it's just shameful. Like, I got to get my priority. I'm sitting here like, I want to buy some land. And I'm looking at how many records I buy, and I'm seeing why I don't have land. But hey, kick-ass metal collection.
You got to feed the beast, man.
Oh, you have to feed the beast. There is no, and it's insatiable. It haunts my dreams. It never goes away.
Oh,
the hunger only grows, and things like Bandcamp don't help when you're signed up for notifications. And so I'll just rapid fire some other things that I recommend that I've been listening to. Warbringer's Weapons of Tomorrow. This isn't a new album, just a fantastic one. It came out 2020. Thrash. I've been listening to Septic Flesh's Infernus Sinfonica. And some Roman numerals, and I'm an American. I only know how to read them in the Super Bowl. Otherwise, I don't really actually read them. That's a live album, by the way. So if you're a fan of Septic Flesh, can't recommend it enough. And I'll throw one last one, and I bet you're going to have something to say about this. Picked this up after we saw them live not too long ago, but Storm Ruler, Under the Burning Eclipse. I've been rocking that out hard. Melodic, black metal. So fun.
Oh my God. Those guys, when we saw them, just completely crushed. And then that's another prime example of a band you've never heard of when you go to a concert and they open it and then you kind of blow your wad a little too early and you don't have anything left in the tank for when the headliner comes on. We rocked out to those guys. I believe they said we're from St. Louis. They fucking crushed. That's another band I cannot recommend enough. I'm right there with you in saying to check that out, because they fucking rule, and I am super excited to see where they go.
If I recall, they're coming through again on tour, and I want to say it was maybe with Marduk. I don't know. Marduk is how I believe. Yeah, you know, always insert the obligatory, I think I'm saying this right, comment on some of these bands, but I think they're coming through with Marduk. When I was talking to their merch guy, I think you were with me. They let us know that they're going to be coming back through again. So did you say they're from, I think they're from St. Louis. Am I imagining that? Is that something you remember?
Yeah, I think they said they're from St. Louis. Yep.
You know why I remember that? Oh, this is painful, because at the time the Minnesota Wild were going about to start a head to head big time series, and we had just come off and I was talking shit. I'm like, yeah, you know, fuck the Blues, but I mean, not being all good, and I'm not really a diehard sports guy, but the Wild had me on the hook of their line. I was so into it. Anyways, they went on to stomp the shit out of us, but I remember talking to lead singer about that, and they were very good natured guys. I also remember Storm Ruler had like leather braces with the longest goddamn spikes I think I've ever seen. And I thought, this dude's fucking wailing on this guitar, and he's got like these 8-inch spikes.
Yeah, the lead singer, he had these gauntlets with, like you said, the biggest spikes I have ever seen on a gauntlet. Those things had to have weighed like 8 pounds, 9 pounds, it seems like, with the amount of metal strapped to that. And he's just slaying the riffs, dude.
I feel like I'd be so scared, like, at some point I fucking go to scratch my eye. Like, do you think that You like, do you think that those things, do you have to like dull them out a little bit before you decide to commit full bit to the whole shooting match or what?
Oh, I feel like you'd have to, man, because like you're up on stage, you're under the lights and those things are fucking hot. And you know, you probably go to wipe, you know, your brow or whatever, and then wipe next your thing anything. You know, you have, yeah, or that, yeah, anything. And the next thing you know, you got like an 8-inch gash in your skull, basically giving yourself a lobotomy.
This is sort of like if someone goes to get nails, like, you know, the fake nails put on their hands, and you're rocking those. I've seen some folks wear, you know, 3-inch nails before, and I'm like, this motherfucker, how are we even going to dial? Like, how are you going to wipe your ass? How does someone wipe their ass with long nails? Tune in next week for this topic and other important breakdowns. No, but yeah, that's boy, can we? I'm just going to step back for a moment, go back in time another 20 minutes and say another thing that pulled me into heavy metal is shit like that. The garb, some of the stuff people come up with, whether that's making a vest, as you and I both have done, because we're just those kind of metal fans, or like these leather accoutrements. I've seen guys and gals bring drinking horns into the shows before. Oh, yeah. And that's kind of, I've seen people wear furs. Like, bro, this is hot as hell in here. You're wearing furs. But you know, some of these bands draw out I was going to say the LARPers, but I full disclosure, I've got like 4 kilts. I can't wait for the Rent Fest in like 2 weeks. So I use that word, but just know I'm one of you.
Yeah. Let's see. Kind of rapid. I'll go rapid fire with a couple other things.
That, yeah. What do you get? What do you got?
A couple old school tech death metal bands. I've been listening to Nocturnus. The album would be The Key. That's from 1990.
Woo!
They fucking rule. I don't know how I found them. I just been, like I said, I've been on a hunt for tech death, and I've been kind of wanted to, I'm on a journey of discovery here. I want to try to find out like where tech death like really spawned into its own thing. And this has led me to a couple bands, Nocturnus being one of them. Like I said, the album is The Key from 1990. Absolute thrasher. Another one is Polluted Inheritance from the Netherlands. Album is Echocide from 1992. I believe this is a band that I asked if you had heard about, and you said you didn't, and I was kind of surprised. Very early tech death. And once again, they just blew me away. I like, you know, I was 2 years old when this album came out, and like, I can't believe like how much tech, you know, not just tech death, but death metal in general has like progressed and evolved. And we're starting to see some bands like Undeath, like start to go back to these roots. And it's super awesome to find new bands that are kind of trying to go back to old school death metal, and then finding these old school death metal bands and seeing where it came from and seeing how it got it started.
It's so fun to have been so into this thing called heavy metal that you start to, over a long enough timeline, you start to see these mini movements within heavy metal, these like these moments in time that sometimes last 3 or 4 years where just like a particular subgenre or a revival of a genre happens, or something new explodes. And it's really cool when you feel part of that, when that new shit is happening. I remember like in the early aughts, folk metal was really exploding, like bands like Fintroller and Sifrum or Moonsorrow. And that felt like, holy cow, this is something new. And I know I gush and you gush about this old school death metal revival, or this just death metal revival in general, but that has been really cool to be a part of. And man, you're listening to some just straight banger albums over there. The Key by Nocturnus. God damn. I feel like I'm so jacked that you're discovering these huge gems.
Yeah. And gems they are. Cause they, like I said, they just absolutely annihilate. I can't stop gushing about it enough. Just seeing where metal was like when I was introduced into the world, it's completely crazy. to know that this kind of music was out there when I was so young, and I had no idea, obviously, it existed. But I'm just super jacked that I'm being able to find these bands and just really absorb everything.
Man, I was I can't wait for you to come one of these days soon, as you're going on this technical journey of where does death and tech meet, and you're going to discover things like old Gore Guts. I think about even stuff older than that. You know, that's not really riding the line anymore, but like an Atheist is a band that I can 100% see you getting into. And yeah, man, that's just the journey of it. I remember 100% at times like being in awe of things like Nocturnus the first time I'm hearing it and being like, wow, this album right here is a shift in death metal. This is a new sound. This is like, I haven't heard keyboards in a death metal album before. They sound like small things, but that's how genres evolve. And sometimes at the moment, you don't always realize the gravity of it. But yeah, albums like Nocturnus, that's so cool because that album has kind of found like a late life respect with kind of the death metal scene in general, but fucking killer.
I can't agree enough. Well, that's kind of all I've been listening to. You got anything else?
Oh, I could tickle you with some discussion about Night. We could talk about Demolik, but maybe we'll save that for our next episode. I don't have much else in the way of things to report on my listening. I'm always backed up. I'm always backed up with listening. I get plenty. Let me tell you, people, I get plenty of greens in my diet. Yeah, so it's neck wrecking. It's not abdominal wrecking. So, yeah, I think that's what I've got on that front. But yeah.
All right. Well, I think that about does it.
That is our second episode. Thanks so much, Franny. It was great hearing about what you've been listening to, talking about what got us into heavy metal. I would say if you've enjoyed this episode, you know, hit that fucking subscribe button. We're two episodes in, but we'll take it. We need it. That sustains us. That bonds. The mega powers get bonded by that. And we're going to, every episode, I can promise you one thing. I will make sure you get a wrestling tie-in at some point throughout the episode. So yeah, tune in next week. Maybe we'll talk about the benefits of making a floating ship of doom out of thumbnails. I'm not sure, but whatever it is, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it was a really good time just chatting, seeing where you came from and how you got into metal music. It's always nice to hear that. Yeah, if you liked what you heard and you want to keep seeing where this new journey of ours takes us as we deep dive into the mystic arts of metal music, join us every week or every other week or a month or every 17 months.
Every 17 is what we're shooting for.
That's baseline. That's baseline. Rex, it was always a pleasure, and make sure you stick around for the next episode of Druids of Doom.